So now we are returning together again to talk about the fourth of these five aggregates, mental formations. And for me, I think these mental formations, this is probably one of the most sticky, or the most sticky of all of the aggregates we've talked about so far today. So mental formations are all the different thoughts, memories, emotions, plans, mental images, and so on and so forth that come up in the mind, often triggered by some object we come in contact with, but I don't know. Some of the time it seems like they just arise out of nothing from who knows what. Just all of this activity that the mind does. And just like body or form and like feeling tone, mental formations are one of the four foundations of mindfulness. So most of you are probably pretty familiar with them in one way or another and familiar with practicing with them. And in a beginning meditation class, mindfulness of mental formations is usually that stage of practice where we begin to work with thoughts and emotions. So that stage where it begins to get a little more difficult and a little bit more confusing. And so you may feel that about mental formations. One of the things that you probably already noticed today in your sitting practice and just generally is that all sorts of mental formations typically arise almost immediately after we recognize and name something. You know, our memories of the thing, emotions that are associated with it, that might be positive or they might be negative, people and places we connect with that object, things we've done or might do that relate to it, all these different kind of associations, they come up so quickly that we hardly even know what to think. We're there in them. So all of these things from our past experience often, all of this stuff, mental stuff, that moves us from what is actually there in the present moment to the past or to the future. So instead of being with what is actually happening, we're reliving something that happened in the past and what happened to a past self, or maybe creating a new self in a fantasy of the future based around this thing. And I'm sure you've all experienced this very, very often. And you would have your own descriptions of that experience, but I'll give you an example from my experience so you can just sort of see how quickly this process happens from simple contact with form to this full-blown, you know, saga of myself. So one of the things I do from time to time is join an online sit and Dharma talk with two of my longtime teachers, Steve Armstrong and Kamala Masters. And they live in Hawaii, so a lot of the time during the sits, you'll hear sounds from their environment, and especially you hear these bird sounds, bird songs, which are really delightful, you know, actually. And so one day I was sitting there, you know, in one of the meditation periods, and there was the sound of this bird, this tropical bird. So I heard the sound and I had this feeling, oh, pleasant, you know, and of course the mind recognized the sound. Oh, this is a bird, a tropical bird, a Hawaiian bird. And then hearing this and thinking Hawaiian bird, all of these mental formations came up. Memories about being in Hawaii on retreat with them, on Maui, listening to bird songs that were sort of the same as that. Thoughts about the hermitage they have there now where you can go and practice. Thoughts about how, oh, you know, maybe when things are a little bit more normal and we know that it's safe and the pandemic is more over, maybe I can go And then thoughts of fantasies of being there. When I go, I'll stay in my own little cootie. I'll have this wonderful view from upcountry Maui down to the sea. I'll have these blissful meditation experiences, blah, 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 you know. So within a few seconds, I went from just sitting there, knowing hearing was happening, recognizing this sound of a bird, to this fully formed future self on Maui, sitting in my little cootie, having all these deep meditative experiences, when really the only thing that was happening was this sound arising and being known. And all of the rest was, you know, creation of my mind. And so I'm sure that when you look, you'll see the same kind of process happening in your mind, starting with a very simple contact with some object and ending in who knows what projection of a fully formed you doing God knows what you might be doing. So it's kind of that way, you know, these mental formations can just take us, whoa, all over the place. And as I mentioned before, these are especially sticky as of aggregates we've considered so far. I think this is the one where we're most likely to really get caught in clinging and identification. The other ones trigger it, but it's when all these mental formations come up, I think, that we really get stuck there. And most definitely, our past experiences and our past conditioning color our sense of what we want and don't want, and what we cling to and what we push away. And we really identify, you know, all of this mental stuff, our emotions and our thoughts, they feel so personal, you know? They feel so personal. So much about me, so much about what I am. You know, we kind of feel like, well, our emotions, our memories, I mean, this is us. This is our personalities. This is our history. So we tend to kind of hold it very closely. We identify with our stories and our memories and our emotions, and we define ourselves by our experiences and our feelings. You know, we think, I'm an angry person. I'm a fearful person. I'm a person who lived through an unstable family experience. I'm a person who has had a successful career. I mean, and all these things are true, definitely true on one level, but they may not be true all of the time, or maybe they were true in the past, but aren't that way now. They're not quite as solid as we try to make. And all of us who are meditators have sat with all of this past conditioning, felt the force of this past conditioning, and know that it really colors the way we respond to what's arising in the present, and it really solidifies our sense of who we are around what is occurring. But we can also see that even if we're influenced by all of this, we aren't defined by it. But how do we do this? Well, once again, as with the other aggregates, we follow the Buddha's advice. We recognize these mental formations. We see they're arising and they're passing away. And this isn't always so easy, but I think it's a really important area of practice. Now, with the emotions, in a way, they're a little bit easier, I think, but and a good technique, which many of you are familiar with when emotions arise, is to bring attention to the body and just allow yourself to feel that emotion physically. And let that story about it, what has triggered it, you know, letting it just kind of stay in the background. It might be playing out in the mind, but let the physical sensations be in the foreground and move through you. And when we do this, it's really helpful because one thing we learn is that this emotion really only lasts so long. This physical experience of the emotion only lasts so long. It might be really uncomfortable. It might be really intense. But sooner or later it subsides, especially if we don't keep re-triggering by going over the story over and over again. So we start to learn, you know, this isn't permanent. And if we pay attention, we start to see that all kinds of different emotions arise in addition to the ones that we tend to define ourselves by and say, I am this way. You know, it's true that sometimes we might feel depression and sadness. Sometimes we might feel anger. But there are also times of joy, of curiosity, of boredom, all different kinds of things coming and going depending on the conditions. And this is true no matter who we are, no matter what we think we are like. We have tendencies, yes, this is true, and we have certain patterns that reoccur, but we aren't one way permanently. And if we pay attention, we see that we feel many emotions besides just, oh, I'm angry, I'm an angry person. Oh, I'm fearful, I'm a fearful person. Oh, I'm sad, I'm a depressed person. There's much more in our range of experience than that. And with the stories and the thoughts, we can try to step back a little bit and allow a little space. And sometimes perception can help us here because we can recognize what's going on in the mind, recognize thinking, recognize remembering, recognize planning, maybe even recognize, oh, that story about my mother, or, oh, that story about my brother, or some other recurring theme. And this can help us to not get carried away. Joseph Goldstein sometimes suggests that we, when we're working with our thoughts, you know, like pretend we're in a movie theater and we're just watching and listening to the story play out on our screen and play out on the soundtrack in our minds. So it's sort of like, you know, we're watching this movie of our minds. And this can help us to see that all of this stuff that's happening is a mental activity. It's something the mind does. And so it's not so very, very personal. And so very, very much all about me as it often seems. It's not so personal in that painful way. It's more, you know, this is what the mind does. This is the activity of the human mind. And as we do that, we see that some of these images and thoughts really do arise and pass away. They don't last forever. Some of them can be really, really fleeting. You know, the minute we recognize that this thought is there, it sort of evaporates. I think some of you have probably had that experience, or a certain thought about something or plan about something kind of comes up and then something else happens and it's gone. It disappears. We don't even remember exactly what we were thinking about, or a thought trails off into nothing. So we can feel that they can be pretty fleeting and pretty insubstantial. Sometimes that they're not. Sometimes they're very sticky, recurring, arising over and over again, especially if they're part of some story that we strongly identify with, or maybe some really difficult experience that brings up lots of overwhelming emotions. Then, you know, it may be difficult. It seems anything but fleeting and transitory. But even when we're in that sort of a situation with thoughts that play over and over and over again and recur over and over again, we can also recognize this as, oh, this is this story about whatever, and question that sense of story, this mental formation, and kind of ask ourselves, you know, does this really say something permanent and unchanging about me? We can ask ourselves if the story we tell ourselves is really true. And often we find that, well, there's some truth, it isn't the full picture. There's a lot more going on than in our usual, you know, story we tell over and over again. We can ask ourselves, are things still this way? Maybe they were this way in the past, but is it like that now? We can feel the impact of what's happened in the past, but in the present, things may be different. It isn't happening. Now we have the potential to feel very differently about what occurred, maybe to see things differently, to do things differently, maybe acknowledge the pain and the harm, but forgive and move on. So we can see that we don't have to be defined by things from our past that have arisen and passed away, or by things that kind of prey on our minds and recur. We can see that they aren't necessarily the full story or the whole story or the way we are or the way things are forever. And as we explore these mental formations especially, we can really begin to understand that experiencing this whole gamut of mental stuff is not so much about me personally. It's about being a human being, about how the human heart and the human mind work, and it's something we all share. And I think that's one of the most important things about sort of that kind of thinning of the self is recognizing this sense of beginning to see all of these things that happen as not so much as my own personal difficult or beautiful or whatever experience that's unique to me and no one else can understand, but more like a part of a process. Not so personal, but part of a process. Part of a process that our minds go through, part of a process that all human beings' minds go through. So it's somewhat about us, but not really so much about us as we might think. And that can be a very freeing thing. I mean, it can really free us from some of the pain of defining ourselves in painful ways, of blaming ourselves in painful ways for the things that, you know, naturally occur in our hearts and minds and in all human beings' hearts and minds. So, like I say, this is a very sticky area. It's a very personal feeling area. It's an area where we identify a lot, but it's also one of the areas where I think we can really learn a lot about what really is me and what really is the self.